It's a great day to build a sandcastle and spend time with your family. And I don't know how many of you have done that, but spending time building a sandcastle with family or just hanging out at the beach, great day. But I'm sure all of you know already that actually taking out a 30-year mortgage on a sandcastle, probably not a good plan, right? Do I have to tell you that? I'm going to try to restart this one more time because I realize I can't see my scripture. Here's the thing that I want to start sharing with you this morning, though, is even though I know all of you are smart and all of you are well-informed and none of you would ever sort of take out a mortgage on a sandcastle, don't worry, that's not what I'm trying to sell you, but I will be trying to sell you something later, I promise. Could I get my scripture up on here, maybe my other notes, and that way I'll be able to read it and then we'll be fine. Thank you. But there is something that you might be doing. There is something, and that's why we're going to take 5 weeks in June. And even though you're smart, and even though you're informed, and even though you wouldn't take out a mortgage on a sandcastle, there's something that you might be doing, and something that I might be doing, and something that Jesus, just my old keynote would work fine, the other one. Oh, it's working now. Awesome. Who knows? We'll try it. I'm going to skip to the scripture with little introduction just so that we can read it. No, it doesn't show it on here. That's not going to work. Because I haven't memorized the entire Bible yet. Like, you thought that I was up here just so I can read it off here. And so let me just read to you what Jesus said. And Jesus points out something, and we're going to use this story all month, and you might know, and I realize like the last 3 months, every scripture I've used is a Sunday school song, which that wasn't by intent, but you could probably get the album and sing along. But this is what Jesus said, and I think it's super, super powerful, and there's so many layers that let's just read from Matthew. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in the heaven. And many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And I know you're like, "That's a great story, Don." No. I do have to read that. But here's the story. And this is one of the parables of Jesus. And the amazing thing about the parables or the stories that are not true but are true is how they still work today. So in verse 24, he says this, and it's up on the screen. He says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand, and the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash." Now, there's like so many layers to this story, and I included the previous verses in this because if we just took this sort of standalone, we might miss the fact that he's trying to make a bigger point here. And so the big point, and this is sort of maybe difficult to hear, is that Christ followers actually follow Christ. Now, it sounds sort of simple, and it sounds sort of like no duh or no, but here's the thing that we have to know about that. Then if we were looking back and sort of zooming back in a big sort of theological Christianity for 2,000 years sort of way, this is very important teaching, even though it's a story that isn't true about a couple guys who built houses. This teaching is really important because what it says and what we have to take away from this is even though that salvation is absolutely a gift. Salvation is by grace you are saved. Like, you cannot earn your salvation. What you do here on earth, you can't possibly be good enough to be saved. Jesus said, even though it's a free gift, Christ followers follow Christ. And so just so you know that, and this is why actually any of the things I'm saying in the future in these next 4 weeks that are going to be helpful to all of us, I have to tell you that, and we had to read that because if not, none of this stuff matters. Like, if you can just sort of say a prayer or get dunked in some water or sign a card or raise your hand in a service, and then you go into life and you're good for all eternity and you really don't have to necessarily even worry about what Jesus said because, hey, it's a free gift and I can be forgiven. And if that's the case, none of the stuff I'm going to say matters, but This scripture tells us that even though we couldn't possibly earn our way into heaven, and even though we couldn't possibly be good enough to earn a spot in eternity with Christ, that Christ followers must follow Christ. And it sounds sort of simple and sort of self-explanatory when I say it like that, but that's pretty difficult teaching. But that's why all this other stuff matters. Now, here's another thing that was kind of shocking to them, but not to us, is that storms will come. Notice in the story that he gave this example, and he said, like, there's two houses. There's one guy, he builds his house on stone. It's well laid out. It's well engineered. It's the kind of house that will pass a house inspection, pre-mortgage house inspection. And storm came to him. And then he also tells the story of another guy who built his house on sand. It doesn't say it's a bad house. In fact, for our purposes, we're going to pretend, because Jesus was just telling a story, this isn't a true story, but it's a story that's true, that let's say both houses are the same. One house is built on rock, one house built on the sand. But here's what he said that was pretty revolutionary for his time, is that Jesus said storms would come to both of them. Now, here's why that would bother the people that he was talking to. Because the people that he was talking to in those ages thought that storms came to bad people. Like, if you had a storm, if you read scripture and you read the book of Job, or you read like anywhere in scripture, generally when storms came, and I'm not talking about figuratively, not literally, but when, even literally, when a storm came, when, you know, God moved against someone, when they were sick, or when they, you know, faced poverty, or when they faced illness, or when they faced war, every time something bad happened, when a storm came, they, well, they're probably being punished by God. That's what people thought. So this idea that Jesus had, this idea that storms would come to good people and bad people, storms would come to foolish people and wise people, storms would come to people who were prepared and not prepared, was sort of revolutionary. And I will guarantee you, there were people out in the audience that morning kind of shaking their head like, oh, I can't believe he said that, because that is... Now, that probably doesn't bother us at all. Like, in our culture, we kind of go, yeah, storms, bad things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. And that's super sort of easy for us to deal with, but there's parts that won't. Now, he also said something very important that we're going to spend the rest of it is just, it's pretty simple, but powerful and still true. Build on rock, not on sand. Build, you know, like, pretty simple, pretty universally accepted still. Like, I don't think there's going to be any rock deniers in the place this morning going, no, you should, but here's the thing. Like, I do want to point that out, in the fact that I'm talking about something that a sort of like two-year unemployed carpenter said thousands of years ago, and he tells a story and he has a purpose and he uses an illustration, and it's still 100% true today. Like, I'm at, you know, 5 out of 10, actually it would be 9 out of 10 or 10 out of 10 engineers would tell you this is true, right? Like, this is not, you know, oh, maybe that's true, or maybe it used to be true. Like, it's part of it. Build on rock, not on sand. Now, here's another thing. Wise, Jesus divided people into two groups, wise people and foolish people. Now, that's where it's going to bother us, because you or I probably don't push back when it comes to Jesus saying that storms come to good people, storms come to bad people. Storms come to prepared people, storms come to unprepared people. That would have bothered them culturally, I believe, then. From everything I've read, I think that was revolutionary and annoying to them. We don't mind it, because we've come to believe, as Jesus did, that storms come to everyone. Now, the problem is, this is where this is going to kind of bother you if you think about it, and I'm going to force you to think about it a little bit, is Jesus divided the two people into wise people and foolish people, and we don't think like that at all. When storms come, when bad things come, when bad things happen, we don't go, oh, it's their fault. They must have been bad. God must have been mad at the people in the hurricane. That's not the way we think at all. Now, they would have. They would have thought, oh, these people are being punished for living on the coast. They're getting hit with it. We don't think that at all, but Jesus still puts responsibility back on us as wise and foolish. Like, it matters when storms come, and I'm not just talking about like hurricanes, because then we can sort of count ourselves out because we're inland, but storms in life, this was a metaphor. When bad things happen, like, Jesus divides people into wise people who are prepared for that problem and foolish people who are unprepared, and that's going to bother us a lot in our culture because we go, that seems sort of victim shamey blamey, doesn't it? It seems sort of like we shouldn't be saying that because we're sort of blaming the people going through a tough, you know. So that, once again, just saying, like, it's so amazing how many levels there are in this story. Like, it's a simple story. I mean, we can recount it in a tweet, you know. Wise man builds his house on a good foundation of rock, you know, survives storm. Foolish man builds foundation on sand, storm destroys his house. It's so simple. It's so sort of like self-evident, but as we're going to talk about this month, man, there's a lot of sort of layers and there's a lot of implications to this story, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but just the way Jesus brings it to us is difficult. Now, here's the good thing, and check out this picture. I know something about you, and I was thinking about this, like none of you would build your house on sand, right? Like most of you are like, oh, I'm glad I came this morning because this doesn't apply to me at all, because I would never do that. I would never be foolish enough to build my house on sand. And I live in Springsbury Township, and they won't even let me build a sandbox on sand. If Raph were here, he would tell you. But like, depending on your township, you might need 17 engineering studies to build a sandbox filled with sand. Like, and so most of us think, like, there's no way we would do this. And it feels kind of good, go, I'm glad this doesn't apply to me. Like, I would never, ever, ever be foolish enough to build my house on sand. And we kind of look at this picture and go, oh, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe, you know, and we don't even feel a lot of pity. I had a video I was going to use today, and I may use it in the future, but it was sad because it was actually some people whose beach house collapsed, and it was a very sympathetic, like, news story about them that went on YouTube, which is a horrible place to put a sympathetic story about people whose beach house collapsed, because they said, we lost almost everything except the stuff that we could move out, and we only have, they basically said, we only have one beachfront condo that we were able to move. And it was like the most unsympathetic sort of story in America in 2019, and the YouTube comments were horrible, you know, about the, but we don't even feel a lot of sort of sorrow when we go, oh yeah, your beach house collapsed if you build it on the sand. But here's the thing. Here's why I'm glad you're here, and here's why I'm glad you're here at Sandcastle Mortgage, because I'd like to convince you today that you should build your house on sand. And in fact, I've got five really, really, really good reasons about why you should build your house on sand. And I'm a terrible salesperson. Like, Josiah's right. Like, I paint houses and apartments. I print apartments for a living and townhouses. And every sales job I've ever taken, it didn't work out. Like, every sales job, I just can't seem to sell anything. I just kind of, I'm Tommy Boy. Like, here's my card. And I run out after I've set the office on fire. But I think that I can do that this morning. Like, I wouldn't do this if I didn't feel good about this, because it practically sells itself. Like, and you should take this as a positive thing. Like, if I were a really forceful salesperson or I had a good rap, like, you go, well, maybe he's just convincing me. But I guarantee you, I have five ideas, five reasons why you should build on sand. And I hope at least at the end of this that you're ready to sign up with Sandcastle Mortgage and just start building. And here's a great reason right off the bat. Like, why should you build your house on sand? It's so much quicker. No, think about this. No, seriously. Like, listen, all of the other builders, all of the other mortgage companies, all of the other beachfront property developers, do you know how long they're going to spend, like, messing around, pulling permits, like, getting engineering studies? They're going to dig a giant hole. They're going to fill it back in with concrete and rebar. I mean, it's going to take months. And I mean, we built an addition on our house, and it's not like it was beachfront. It was just in our backyard. And they spent months, like, preparing and digging and building foundations, and, like, none of that at Sandcastle Mortgage. Like, we get right to it. Like, if you sign with me, here's the great thing about it. Like, we could get started this afternoon. I'm serious. Like, there's some builders here. There's people who have had houses built. Like, think about how long that took. Like, think about, like, how you're like, hey, we're going to build a house. And then months later, you have nothing. You probably don't even have the hole in the ground yet. But I remember, like, that we're building a house, and, like, go, hey, want to come see the house? And it's just a hole in the ground and maybe a little bit of concrete. It's ridiculous how long it takes. And so none of that, like none of that. And here's the second thing. I don't even have to tell you this, really. It's so much cheaper. I mean, think about this. Like, if you could eliminate all that stuff below the ground, like, if you could eliminate all of the foundation work and the concrete's not cheap, man. I'm telling you, like, rebar and all of the time that it takes to pull permits and, like, it's just quicker and it is so much cheaper. It's hard to beat, honestly. And so those are just my first two. See what I mean? Like, it sells itself. Now, obviously, this is just a metaphor, so let's talk about life a little bit, and let's see if this is true. I mean, think about this. Like, it is quicker and cheaper to build on sand than it is to build on rock. And that's what Jesus was really talking about. He wasn't really just giving building advice. Like, let me give you an example. There are things called influencers, right? That's a word in 2019, and it's an old thing. It's not a new thing. Like, influencers are people who influence, right? So, like, at one point, imagine this, like, at one point in our world, like, you had to spend many, many years, maybe decades, maybe your entire life to be an influencer, to influence other people, to be a leader, and you had to invest so much time and energy and probably money. So at one point, think about it, in America, I said America just like automatically, but it's true. Like, at one point in America, to be an influencer, you had to have like maybe a military career. You might have put yourself, you might have lost a limb in battle to become an influencer. And we go, that guy's a veteran, and he was a war hero. And then maybe like you would spend decades or even generations building up your family name. And so they go, that guy, he's an influencer. Like, he influences people because that name, it means something. Because over decades and generations, maybe hundreds of years, or maybe it was about like investing time or education or like energy or building great wealth or great power or becoming a politician who led, you know, a party or a nation. And they would go, that guy is, he's an influencer. Now, think about this. You could take a picture of your butt and put it on Instagram. It's so much quicker. I'm so glad. And it doesn't even have to be a great butt. Like, anybody's butt. Put enough of them on Instagram. Be body positive. Just put your butt on Instagram. And after a while, you could build up millions of followers, become an influencer. And people will give you money to sell things. Now, the bad idea, maybe a bad idea, but it's not just that. Like, you can become, think about the influencers that we have in 2019. You could portray a lifestyle that you can't even afford. It could be even fake, but if it's attractive and people go, oh, I want to be like that dude with the man bun. Like, you could actually become an influencer without doing any of those other things. It's so much quicker. And it's so much cheaper. I mean, it sort of sells itself. And that's just one little area. That's just the idea of like career building or influence building or becoming a leader. I mean, every area of our life, there are so many quicker, easier, cheaper ways to do it than the Bible says. I mean, this whole Jesus idea of like, it takes so long and it's so difficult. I mean, think about sexuality. We go, oh, here's the Bible plan. Here's the Bible plan for sexuality. I'm going to pick my adjectives very carefully here, but it's so difficult and so time consuming. You're going to meet someone and court someone and get betrothed, you know, which sounds weird. And then you're going to commit your life and your future and everything you own to that person. You're going to become one, and then you're going to have babies. And then somehow, like, talk about time and expense. You're going to have to somehow convince them to stay in a sexual relationship with you, even though you're married for 100 years. Like, it takes so much time. It's so difficult. Or you could just hook up with someone this afternoon. I mean, it's so much quicker. It's so much cheaper. I mean, you'd be foolish. Here's another thing. And speaking of that, is I can take you to places at Sandcastle Mortgage, exclusive locations. And here's the problem with being a preacher and kind of talking about the Bible, is sometimes people come to me many times, not just about sexuality, but just about life in general, and they'll go, hey, do you think the Bible is okay with this? Or do you think, you know, can I do this, basically? People ask me that question, like, can I do this thing and still be a Christian? Or can I go to this place? Or can I be part of this and be a Christian? And here's the bad part about being a preacher. Is sometimes I don't know. That's the best one. I go, well, I don't know. If you've been thinking about that, pray for that. Because I really don't, and I'm not going to tell you something I don't know. But there's a lot of times, and I'm not going to lie to you, like there's a lot of times if you're going to be a Christ follower that I have to kind of go, no, there's no place to build there. Like, you can't build there. There's no rock to base that action, that lifestyle, that future, that. But man, here at Sandcastle Mortgage, there's no limits. Like, you can build it. Like, if you look at this picture and you go, could I build a house there? And then you have all these, you know, like, oh, you know, all these negative ideas, like, oh, they're going to want a permit, or they're not going to let me build right on the public beach, or, hey, it might blow down. None of that is true. Don't worry about that. Like, we can get you, like, this afternoon, because we don't waste time with foundations and concrete and all that crap. Like, anywhere you want to build, you can build. Like, there's no limits at Sandcastle Mortgage. And that's why, like, building on sand totally sells itself, if you think about it. Like, because so many times it's such a drag. If you're going to be a Christ follower, and as he said, like, follow his teachings, sometimes it's about modifying the way we live. Many times. Like, there's so many great things you can do as a Christian. I'm not going to lie to you. And, like, and Christ would say, well, this is how you do that in a proper way. But there are things that you just can't do. There's locations that you're just not going to be able to build. You're never going to be able to build there. But don't worry, like, we can get you into. And here's the thing about Sandcastle Mortgage. Like, we have popular neighborhoods. Now here's the thing about it. Like, you might go, well, yeah, you could allow me to go to that location, but everybody's going to laugh at me, you know, and they're like, why don't you build your house right here on the beach? This is our beach. You're going to be mad. No. Especially in 2019. Here's the great news for you. Like, you're going to have neighbors. Like, if you build your house on sand, if you ignore all that build on rock and drive pylons way down into the earth and find bedrock, blah, 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 like, you're not going to be alone. You're absolutely going to have neighbors. In fact, people are going to celebrate you if you build in some locations. Like, you're going to build in this neighborhood, and it's going to be glamorous, and people are going to look to you, and they're not going to go, what a fool. Nobody's going to call you a fool in 2009. I guarantee you, like, people are going to celebrate you, and you're going to have lots of neighbors. And here's the great thing about your neighbors that's so helpful. Many of your neighbors have never experienced a storm, at least yet. Right? Like, if you build your life on sand, if you build your house on sand, not only are you going to be in popular locations, you're going to be able to do things that Scripture's not going to allow you to do, you're going to have neighbors that are going to go, I've been doing this for 30 years. In fact, every story I found, like, I was kind of watching news clips about beach house collapses, which is kind of a weird road to go down. I don't know what my search history says about me now, but everyone was like, we've lived here for years and never had, you know? And you're like, at first you go, well, that's sad. I can't imagine, like, but then you go, well, of course it is. You wouldn't move in the middle of the storm while the house is collapsing around you. You would obviously move to this location, and because we're humans and we don't live that long, they're like, we've never had a storm like that. We just can't believe, like, we've never seen the rock just, there was one that just fell off a cliff. They're like, it's been there for, you know, 26 years, never before. And you're like, well, of course not before. Like, you wouldn't have built it on the beach in many pieces like that. But here's the thing, like, if I could convince you this morning to build your life on sand and to sort of ignore all the stuff that the old-fashioned Bible says, you're going to find a lot of other people. And this is, let's just be real for a second. Like, this is going to bother you even if you are built on rock. Because some of you are building on rock this morning. Like, you're trying to follow this thing we call Scripture. You're trying to follow the teachings of Jesus. You're a Christ follower. And you're like, man, I've been building this thing for years, and it feels like I don't even have the foundation done. And that guy over there, like, he's so much ahead of me. Like, and everything seems so cool. And I don't see any storms happening in that neighborhood. And in fact, one of the sort of nastiest things that Christians do, and this is just real because we're people and Christ followers, is we sort of get a little jealous and a little mad that it seems like it's going so well for people who aren't building on rock. You know, you kind of look at these neighborhoods built on sand and you're like, that looks sweet. And it's so much quicker, and they're so much further ahead, and man, I know I'm supposed to build on rock, but it sort of feels like it's holding me back. And so just bear in mind, here at Sandcastle Mortgage, like, we're not only going to put you in exclusive locations, we will put you in popular neighborhoods, and your neighbors, they'll tell you. They've never experienced a storm. Things are fine, and finally, here's the best reason of all. It's your house. It's your life. Right? Like, why should you allow, I hear people say this all the time, like, why should I allow some ancient book to tell me how to live? Why should I allow some, like, man in the sky that I can't see to tell me how to live? I mean, it's your life. You can build your house wherever you want, right? Why should people, sounds like a rant I had about, I put a shed in our backyard and it took like 32 visits from the inspector. And so I think I said some of these things. I might just be spilling them out to you in the sermon. But here's the thing, like, why should I be told where to build my life and how I should do it? And so, I mean, it's the oldest sort of sin, if you will, if we'd be real for a moment, if we sort of get to real things. The original sin of Adam and Eve, but before that of Satan, was rebellion. And it's in every single one of us, this thought of, like, why should I allow someone to tell me how to do my life or where I should build? And so here's the thing. I think every one of us could and would build on sand. If you think about it, like, and I know I'm not a good salesman, and I probably didn't do the best sales pitch. But man, those are some good reasons. Those are some real reasons. I didn't just make up those reasons. Like, I've felt those reasons, and you have too. I felt the pull of, like, oh, this would be so much quicker if I just took a shortcut. And oh, why is it so difficult to do things the Bible way? Why does it take so long? Why can't I just jump to the head of the line? Like, they're doing it, and they're fine. But I want to read this to you one more time. And I want you to think about it. Just a couple things as we wind up here. Jesus said this. He said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain came down and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had foundation on rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew, and they beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And here's the thing I want to tell you today. This feels like, at least for me, like, I wish I didn't know that, right? Like, this feels like, kind of like, oh, I wish I would have went out of town like everybody else did this week. The weather's beautiful. Like, I wish I would have went golfing, or I wish I would have went to a picnic. I wish I wouldn't have heard this sort of downer sermon about, oh, building a house on sand, and building on, because now I know that, and I'm going to be thinking about that. But it sounds sort of painful. But man, here's the thing about it. Like, it hurts to think, like, am I being wise or am I being foolish? Like, let's ask ourselves that question. Nobody wants to ask that question, because it might turn out, I know it does for me, like, it might turn out that I'm being foolish. And nobody wants to think of themselves as foolish, and no one wants to think of themselves as, like, and so we'd sort of like to go through life going, hey, if a storm comes, not my fault, not my problem, like, I'm the victim here. But here's what Jesus is saying, and it's really sort of the most hopeful news you can hear, is even once we get past this sort of sting of thinking of ourselves, like, are we being wise, or are we being foolish? Man, there's hope in that. There's hope that we can make changes now that would make us stand more likely to survive a storm later. Like there's a chance, at least, right? Like unless you're in that storm today, and you may well be. You might have walked in here in a storm, and you go, man, I don't know if I can do anything about it. Well, good news is I think you can. You can start making a move in some area of your life from temporary things to permanent things. You could ask yourself this question, like, am I building my life on permanent things or temporary things? And that's what we're going to work on this month. This, I know this is sort of like, ooh, this stings a little bit. This is Band-Aid getting pulled off, and I don't like this a lot. This whole idea of like, am I wise or am I foolish? Am I building my house on sand or am I building it on the rock? I get that. But here's the great news. Like, we have a chance to find permanent things to build our life on so that we can survive storms. Because storms are coming. See, it's foolish. Most foolish thing you could possibly do is just go, hey, there'll never be a storm here in my life. There'll never be a job ending. There'll never be a divorce. There'll never be a child getting ill. There'll never be a bankruptcy. Something bad is coming. This is the worst sermon ever. I'm sorry. Like, I'll think of something happy to say, I promise you. But here's the thing, like, storms are coming, and we don't like to hear it, but here's the thing, like, we have a chance because we're here this morning, because we look at Scripture and we think, like, oh, could I make change it? Because here's the thing I want you to notice that's so important. Jesus didn't say, like, building a house was bad. You know, building a life is a very good thing. Like, and in this story, you know, Christ is making no judgments about what, you know, it could be a wonderful house. Like, Christ would love you to build a wonderful life. And his concern is not like, and it should be, you know, he's not giving you a sort of a square footage layout or, hey, and make sure it doesn't have too much of this. Or he's going, man, two guys build a house. He makes no judgment on the building. He's like, that's great. But one of them was wise. And based it on rock. Like, he took the time and the effort and the pain and the expense and he dug deep. And here's what we know about the other guy. The other guy had a head start because he got right to building. He didn't, like, waste any time on foundation. He didn't waste any time or money, like, preparing. He didn't get any input from engineers. All he did is started building, and maybe the houses looked exactly the same. And my guess is, since he was on sand, he had beachfront property, and he's like, this is awesome. But when the storm came, so I have one more thought for you, and I want the guys to come back up here and play us another song. The thing that we can really use, I think, today is this idea of rock and sand. And this might not be scientifically correct, but when have I ever been? But I think little grains of sand, they're all rock, right? It's all rock. So the question that Jesus was really asking, if you think about this thing, is I'm building my life on one big thing, one big rock, one solid thing that doesn't move, or a million little things. And so I want to pray with you, because I don't know what the answer is for that. I know in my life I go, there's some little things that I'm investing a lot in, and I don't know if they last. In fact, I know that some of them don't, and so I've got to think through. But I want to pray with you. And I want you to walk out with that question. Like, is my life, if I had to think, like, what is my life built on? Like, what is my house built on? Is it one big rock or a million little things that could move away at a moment's notice? Let's pray together. Dear God, this is a difficult teaching. God, and it feels sort of heavy and judgy and, whew, God, it's tough to think, like, of the foolish choices I've made. But God, we're so, so, so grateful for a chance to become wise, a chance to make shifts and make sort of differences in our path that could help us stand up to the storms that we know are coming, but we don't like to think about. So God, I pray that you would be with us this week. And God, I know that right now in this room, there are people that are going through very difficult storms. God, I pray that you would help them to make whatever move they can to stand. God, give us wisdom and strength, and God, help us to find a way to tell the world about this amazing opportunity you have to follow you. In your name we pray, amen.